Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I see was black and blue.
Welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio. How you doing? Big up to everybody from Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Lincoln, and Omaha, Dallas, Texas, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's great to be in Blog Talk Radio. I've got my co-host here with me, Sandy. Sandy, we're going to be talking to folks about not only the event that's going on. Nancy's going to be calling in, and we're going to be talking about the leadership, but also we're going to be talking about Protect Minnesota and what they're doing on the event on June 10th. But while we're doing that, I just want you to talk about leadership and what do you think? What makes a good leader?
I think you make a good leader. I think a leader has to have integrity. A leader has to correctly lead. Make sure that the people under him do the jobs that they're supposed to do. If they need to make reports to the leader, that they do that in a timely manner.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you for the compliment. You know, you've worked for a lot of people. You worked for the state of Minnesota, correct?
Yeah.
And you've had some bad leaders.
Yes.
What makes a bad leader?
Well, in my case, it was that the bad leader was very emotionally abusive to the people under him.
Well, and that's not good. You can't be emotionally abusive. Because abuse is no good in any form. We're going to go live on Facebook and talk about leadership, what it takes to be a leader, but also we're going to be talking about the event that's coming up, and we're going to be talking with Jason, CEO, Muhammad, he's going to be calling in and also chatting with us on Facebook. So we're excited to have him on, and we're excited to have Nancy on. I'm going to see if Nancy's on the line right now. We're going to go to the phone line. We do have a number on right now, and we're going to see if Nancy is on. So let's go to this caller, 594-5941. Welcome to Blog Talk
That's
Radio.
That's me. This is Nancy Norvent.
Hey, Nancy, how you doing? We are promoting you right now on Facebook, too, on VJ Smith on my Facebook. And so we're asking people to jump on. So invite them to come on. And also the call-in number is for people to call in is 347-215-9262. That's 347-215-9262. Love to have folks call in. We're talking about leadership, and before we go into the Protect Minnesota event on June the 2nd, can you talk, little Nancy, about what makes a good leader?
Well, I come out of the church, and so I have a very strong understanding of servant leadership, where the leader doesn't ask the people following that leader to do anything that leader's not willing to do themselves, and that the leader is really committed to, in a holistic way, helping those that are in whatever community he or she is leading. So it's not just, I need you in a task-oriented way to get something done that I want, but instead is, how can we as a community come together to achieve shared goals in a way that is helpful to everyone. I loved what you said about how abuse is never right, and I think that that leaders can be very abusive when they get really task-oriented as opposed to always cherishing the relationship that they're a part of.
Well, you know, one of the things that you brought to attention is faith leaders, and sometimes I think faith leaders don't feel that they have to be accountable. And I think what has happened with the church, Nancy, I don't know if you agree, but I think because of the leaders in the church, we've dwindled away the trust and the opportunity for people to feel that our faith leaders are really transparent and trustworthy.
Oh, that's totally true. I totally agree with that.
Well, you know,
and
what can we do? What can we do? We've got almost a church on every corner, Nancy. What do we do now?
Well, I think it's really important that leaders walk the walk or walk the talk, that we do what we say that we believe in. And in the church, that might look like something, and in an organization, that might look like something else. But it's just, there's just too many leaders out there who pretend or say or provide lip service that they support the people that they represent, who they're just in it completely for themselves. And we're seeing this in government everywhere right now, but it's not only in government.
Well, it's, you're absolutely correct. Now, I'm waiting on Jason, CEO Muhammad, to come on and talk about leadership too. And while we're waiting on him, Jason, that number is 347-215-9262. You're on the show with Nancy from Tech Minnesota. Nancy, let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen on June 2nd. And what do you propose to do that day?
Well, June 2nd is going to be a great day. This is the national Wear Orange to raise awareness about gun violence and how it is destroying our communities. The Wear Orange Day, the whole idea started actually in urban Chicago when a beautiful young high school girl who had actually just come home from marching in President Obama's inaugural parade was shot down on the street. She got caught in the crossfire, and her schoolmates were so upset that they organized a big protest march, and they said everyone's going to wear orange because that's what hunters wear to protect themselves from getting shot. And so Wear Orange Day actually comes out of the sense of the urban community. And at Protect Minnesota, we want to make sure to honor that. We are, for the past 2 years now, have hosted with you our Wear Orange Day celebration in North Commons Park in North Minneapolis. And it's a wonderful way. You've helped us to create it into a community fair where organizations that are working for the good of the community can be there, can talk to people, can sign people up, can share their wisdom, even as we're talking about the terrible problem of gun violence in our communities. It's important to us to recognize that the way to address gun violence is not to, we'll never arrest our way out of it. We have to invest in communities in order to really deal with gun violence. And so our Wear Orange Day celebration in North Commons Park is about investing in that community and celebrating that community. And you've been our partner in that, and we'll be partnering with a lot of other organizations as well that day. It's from 10 to 2 on Saturday. We're going to have great music. We got Cornbread Harris playing at two different sets during the day. There'll be a rally where people from the community, leaders from the community can speak. There will be events there to help people share the pain of being gun violence survivors. And yet the whole event will be really uplifting and very community-centered.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Mr. Lloyd T. Lockett is on, and he says he's enjoying the show. And Phyllis Lawrence is on. Phyllis, thank you, and thank you, everybody. Huda Muhammad is on all the way from Texas. And then we've got Dana Thomas on, coming on too. Thank you, Huda. I appreciate you. That number is 347-215-9262, 347-215-9262. We're talking about leadership. We're talking about the impact that we can have on a community, and we're also talking about gun violence and the event that's going to be happening on June the 2nd at North Commons. Nancy, I'm going to come right back to you, Nancy, and I'm going to go right to, which I believe is 7409, and I think that might be, you know what, I don't think that's it. I'm going to 3197, I believe that is Jason Muhammad. Jason, how you doing? Jason, is that you at 3197? I would presume that is not you. So I'm going to go right to 7409. Jason, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jason Muhammad, thank you very much. Jason, you are on right now with Nancy with Protect Minnesota, and I wanted you to just talk a little bit about the qualities of a good leader and what you think we should do about gun violence.
Yes, sir. Well, basically, the qualities of a good leader, the first thing that a good leader is he starts off being a good follower. And what I mean by that is he follows the principles, the policies, the procedures, and more importantly, the idea and the mission of whatever it is that he stands for. That's the qualities of a good leader. A good leader is the best follower. And as far as gun control, well, a gun, you know, for me personally, a gun is just simply a piece of equipment that is used by individuals and human beings. And so what I think that needs to happen is that there has to be some emotional control that has to take place. And that has to come about by some form of training and mindset training for individuals. See, people, okay, so if you look at it from a few different ways, BJ, can you still hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, sir.
Okay, yes, sir, I apologize. Yeah, so you can look at it from a few different ways. You know, you have those people who are authorized to carry these, you know, licensed firearms, and then you have people who are not licensed to carry firearms. And so there has to be some type of training and information that, okay, number one, why is there a need for a gun? You know, I once heard someone say, I forget who it was, but if you got to go anywhere where you got to carry a gun, that's somewhere where you really don't want to go, right? You know, as far as this gun control, you know, is concerned, I mean, of course, you have it within the rights of an American citizen, the right to bear arms. But then you have to also have the right mind, you understand, when you have such a right. You have to have the right mind. And so I think an education right along with this license has to take place, a real education that has to take place.
Well, Jason, you know, both of you are going to be live, but if you please be respectful of each other when you're talking. Nancy, I want to ask you a question. I believe that gun control is important, but I also believe that in certain neighborhoods and communities, I think we need different rules and regulations because evidently it's designed for inner city neighborhoods to be flooded with guns. There's something bigger behind this, and suburbians. There's many, so if everybody that had guns used them, there'd be more people dying in the suburbs than it would be in the inner city. But we're
That's
flooded
true.
With guns. I've even heard of guns being dumped in trunks and just left open in the middle of the hood for people to just grab them and start using them. What do you say about that, and what are your thoughts about that?
Well, we believe that especially when you get to urban gun violence, you can't just be single-minded. You can't say, oh, it's only one thing or the other. As I said, we'll never arrest our way out of it, but that doesn't mean we don't need some good basic legislation. Right now, because we don't have criminal background checks before every single gun purchase, and because we don't have mandatory lost and stolen reporting, it's really easy for suburban gun dealers, private sellers, to dump guns into urban areas and not ever get into any trouble for it. And we know that it's outside markets that are fueling, that are making these guns available for young men. You know, everybody talks about Chicago. First of all, Chicago doesn't have the highest rate of gun violence, but the vast majority of guns coming into Chicago are coming from Indiana and Wisconsin and Iowa and other states. So we need to have basic legislation that keeps gun traffickers from flooding urban areas with guns. And that's one thing we can do legislatively. But we also have to keep in mind that most people who are engaged in gun violence, it's neighborhood specific, and it's a tiny percentage of that neighborhood. They're finding it's about 0.5% of any neighborhood that's sort of being held hostage by gun violence. About 0.5% of the people that live there are actually engaged. So that means we need to identify those people, and we need to recognize the trauma that goes hand in hand with living a life of violence. and how that trauma probably started really early in their childhood and wasn't dealt with well in the public schools. There were educational deficits, there were economic deficits, there were family deficits. What your organization is about, Mad Dads, is all about making sure that there's a family structure there so that little boys growing up aren't afraid all the time and turning to group violence as a way of protecting them. So there's so many issues that need to be dealt with. We have to recognize that people on both sides of the gun are the victims. That no one shoots another person, another human being, because everything is so great in their life. And so we have to start reaching out and doing the kind of sustained and substantial community investment necessary, providing the sort of mentorships that Mad Dad does, providing the sort of programming that meets these terrible deficits in these individuals' lives, so that we can help those individuals leave that lifestyle. Again, we'll never arrest our way out of this problem. We have to pass sensible laws, but then we have to invest in the community. And that's really what's terribly important to protect Minnesota. We're trying to make sure that there's monies available from the state to do the sort of trauma work that needs to be done to help people leave this lifestyle.
You listen to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. That call-in number, once again, ladies and gentlemen, is 347-215-9262. We're on live with Nancy from Protect Minnesota and Jason, which I have a 50-pound challenge with. I'm just going to predict that I am winning. And I know he made a little noise in the background, but, you know, I ain't scared of that because I've really been working hard. But, you know, like I told him before, I do have to be honest. I've never ever met a French fry that I didn't like. So with that said, I will come clean. But what is that thing that you like down there, down south that you've been eating? So we both gonna do testifying a little bit testimonial. What's the name of that potato thing you like?
Yeah, so it's the same. It's a picnic basket that's found at Bojangles. It's a large order of fries.
See, yours is a basket. Mine is just a fry. But that's okay. We still got 50 pounds. Listen, hey,
yes,
Jason,
sir.
I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, Nancy said a lot about gun control.
Right.
And I looked at our president. The president from the United States was from Chicago. And it was unfortunate to me that in 8 years he could not reduce the violence in Chicago. Why was that?
Yeah.
And I'm asking that question of both you and Nancy, and I'll let you go first.
Well, so what I actually think about that, VJ, is, of course, if for him to have done such, he would have automatically have been labeled, right, the black president. And so, and I think that he was trying so hard to run from that stigma or stereotype as being the black president that he absolutely did, you know, nothing directly that I have heard or seen for black people besides produce what is called the Obama effect. And the Obama effect is simply that when young black boys can see a black man being the president, now it has inspired some hope in them that they can be more than just being, you know, a basketball player or an entertainer or an actor. So that's, you know, that's just my opinion about, you know, why he didn't, you know, personally jump on. But then another thing is that it's all about timing. It's all about timing. So who's to say that he's not about to or hasn't started or behind the doors, even if it wasn't, you know, publicized in the media, when he was the president doing things for that area there. So unfortunately, you know, it was not publicized, for whatever he may have done to do. And of course, you know, like I said, the reasons why is he didn't want that stereotype. To me, my opinion, he didn't want that stereotype of being labeled as the black president, even though he was, in fact, the black president.
Well, I like that. And Nancy, before you go on, Nancy, Michelle Waters said we need to also take more control over who the hands the guns into especially those with certain mental health issues and disabilities and those on psychiatric meds and extensive criminal backgrounds.
Absolutely.
I would like to answer that. I completely agree with your analysis around President Obama. I think that when he got into office, I think he was very careful, and I think he achieved amazing things for this nation, not so much in the area of gun violence prevention. I will say, to his credit, because he went through so many mass shootings, he got stronger and stronger on it every time. And I think we're seeing that with a lot of our leaders. At Protect Minnesota, we're kind of big on this idea of redemption. There are a lot of leaders out there who have been weak on this issue in the past, who have even been much too closely aligned with the NRA and the gun lobby, who are realizing as they watch these terrible occurrences that they've been wrong and they're changing their mind or that they haven't been strong enough. And I think we saw President Obama do that throughout his time in office. I think also we are so stymied by Congress. What he could have done nationally, when you say, why couldn't he do anything for Chicago? You can't do anything for Chicago that's substantive until we get some national, federal gun trafficking laws. As long as the iron pipeway from Indiana is open and Indiana can have as loose of gun laws as they want and they can flood the Chicago market, there's not much anyone can do. That being said, there have been some very successful programs in Chicago that have been based on, one, getting guns off the street through legislation, and then, two, seriously investing and intervening in the lives of its particularly young men engaged in the life. And those programs work as long as people are willing to invest in them, but the minute we decide, oh, we're done now, then they don't work anymore. And we have such short attention spans. We are so impatient for results. We are so unwilling to make the long-term investment in the communities that we really need to do in order to get a better handle on it. Minneapolis has a great program called Project Life, where they're doing this. They're reaching out to the young men that they believe are at risk. They're providing them the kind of substantive help and support and mentorship that they need. It's working. But it's a long-term project. We can't say, oh, in 2 years we're going to see a huge difference. We have to make a long-term commitment.
We've got Phyllis from Little Rock, Arkansas, said she believes what we're talking about and that there's a need for it in her town too. But the so-called leaders, she says, they're not doing what they need to do. And her question is that, how do you get the leaders to do exactly what they need to do in a community like Little Rock, Arkansas? Well, you know how they can be down there, down south. You kind of get in, and it's hard to get you out, and it's a whole lot of loopholes down south. And, Jason, you're down south, too. Nancy,
yes,
I'll let you speak to that, and Jason, you can speak to it.
Let's not pick on down south, because we have 90% of Minnesotans supporting sensible gun laws, and we can't get anything past this legislative session. So it's not just in Little Rock. What we all have to do is get very serious about voter registration, very serious about getting people to the polls, fighting against voter suppression, which is probably a bigger problem in Little Rock than it is here in Minnesota. And voter suppression is huge on this issue. So we have to get people to the polls, and we've got to vote these people out. We have to make sure we're electing leaders that actually care about the people that they're serving and want to protect the people that they're serving, not the gun industry. And that's the only way we're going to see long-term change.
JC, you want to respond to that?
Yes, sir, absolutely. So, you know, basically, Vijay, to make it simple, it's not easy, but to make it simple, some of the places where you go, especially down south, with the problem is like a wildfire, and then you have a couple of people standing by the wildfire with a bottle of water trying to douse the wildfire out. And so, therefore, you have so this fire is overwhelming some of these guys who are not, they're politicizing the issue, but are not addressing the issue. You know, what I mean by that is simply if enough people were to organize themselves and were to attack this issue, like I'm going to Fort Valley, Georgia, on June the 23rd to actually do a speech down there on the values of leadership, just dealing with some of this same stuff, right? So a quick story that here's two nations at war, and you know, one of the nations kidnapped, you know, a child from this mother and took this child up a very rough terrain type mountain. And so then, you know, the one whose village was ravaged, you know, said that, well, we're going to go up there and get this child. And so they took all of the best men to go up there to try to go and get this child. And so all of them went up there. None of them were successful. But then when they were coming back up the trying to go back up the mountain, they saw the mother coming back down the mountain with the child strapped to their back. And then they asked her, how were you able to go up there and get this child when our best men were not able to get the child? And the mother said, because it was my child. And so if we don't fully accept accountability for what this issue is and make the issue our issue, make that issue that seems to be someone else's issue my issue, then it's not going to get solved, because the why, W-H-Y, is not big enough. The why has to be big enough. We have to attach our whole selves and everything that we're involved in and know how to do and power, political and religious and community-wise, attach it to the why and address the issue. But then we have to look at what would be the impact of that. See, realistically speaking, what would be the impact of that? How many police officers will lose their jobs? How many of these other organizations may lose their funding because now you no longer have this crime going on, you no longer have these people shooting and killing one another, you no longer have this, this, and this going on. So therefore, there's a lot of delay, it would seem as if purposely, of actually addressing the issue.
You know, that's excellent. I want to go back to Phyllis. She said that she agrees with what Nancy had to say, and she worked for years, far back as Clinton campaign, for others to get a vote and to vote. And so she also says, thanks to everybody. This has been a great conversation. Nancy, let's talk a little bit about your event, and then we're going to go back to Jason and close out on a leadership tip for our leaders in the community, and we'll close out our show. Nancy, take it away.
June 2nd, Saturday, June 2nd at North Commons Park in North Minneapolis, beautiful location. We're going to be there with Mad Dads and with, right now we've got 11 different sponsors. We'll have many more organizations by then. It's like a community fair, but we're going to be raising awareness about gun violence. Wear orange, because it's Wear Orange Day. There'll be great music. There'll be food trucks. There'll be really inspiring speakers. Doesn't cost you a cent. Please join us.
It's going to be a good time. Jason, give us that leadership tip.
Yes, sir. In order to be an excellent leader, once you said it in the beginning, in order to be an excellent leader, you have to be the best follower, right? So you got to be the best follower. And the best followers and the best leaders are service mindset leaders. If you're going to be a leader, then you got to lead the people. When this person says that it's lonely at the top, you're not a leader. You're just on a hike. Leaders always create other leaders.
Before we go, Nancy, give them your phone number in case people want to contact you about the event.
About the event? They can. The best way to find out about it is to go to www.protectmn.org. www.protectmn.org. It's up there under events.
Jason, if people want to find out more about your book and your speaking engagements.
Yes, sir. They can reach me at 612-598-7409, or they can see my Facebook at Jason CEO Muhammad or JM Leadership Consulting on Facebook as well. And so it's June the 23rd. It's going to be on a Saturday, Fort Valley, Georgia, and we're going to raise consciousness, and we're going to raise some leaders.
I want to thank everybody all the way from Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, Texas, and, of course, the headquarters of National Mad Dads, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio, and we look forward to seeing you next Tuesday, 1 o'clock, the same time. Big special thanks to Jason and Nancy. Thank you very much, my guests. Appreciate you having you on today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, sir.
50-pound challenge.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Bad dads, how you feel? All the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.